We're in a teaching series. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14, and we're talking specifically about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The general teaching series is titled Blueprints, so if you go to our webpage, you see something called Blueprints. This is that message series, and really what we're focused on doing, what I feel God has asked us to do, is really just start with the equipping. So we've talked about a number of things so far, and we're now on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but God is wanting us to grow up into that full man that Ephesians 4 talks about. So those are a few books of the Bible that you can check out, 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14, and then Ephesians, specifically chapter 4. That's really where we're at. So that's where the Lord has had us, and I encourage you to read it, mark down questions, anything that you are struggling with or just want to know more on. And we've either got a class for it, or I'm happy to answer some questions. Pastor Glenn is happy to answer some questions, and so on and so forth. So with that said, I want to have us all stand, and we are going to do something that Hope Church does here, and it's our declaration. We should have it on the screen, but feel free to hold up your Bibles. Feel free to do the hand motions, whatever you want to do, but say this with me today. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to His Spirit. My ears are listening to His voice. My mind will believe what He says, and my voice will declare the truth of His Word. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. Yes, thank you, Lord. So, Lord, I ask You to anoint each of those parts of our body, that, Lord, we would hear You. We would know You. Our eyes would be on You, Lord. And just as we have the written word, Lord, the Bible in front of us, Lord, we also have Your spoken word as You're continuing to guide us and instruct us in all the ways that we should go as our eyes are fixed on You. Lord, anoint my mouth and my mind and my heart to speak on Your behalf today, to teach us what You have for us, Lord, in the subject of miracles. And Lord, I praise You, I give You thanks and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, so as I said, little teaser, we are talking about miracles today. So in 1 Corinthians 12:1, we get a general statement that I want to unpack. We've talked about it a little bit, but just want to remind you. It says, brothers, concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. And the actual Hebrew here, that spiritual is not there. He's actually just talking about spiritual things. So through the discourse of what Paul is teaching, they kind of got some things out of track, a little bit wonky. And he says, hey, considering all of this, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want to show you spiritual things. I want to teach you spiritual realities, one of which the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. So He's going to teach us about that. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 8, and then verse 10, it says, There are diversities or different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit is the one who gives us those gifts. Just so you know, that's what He's saying. Verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Verse 6, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for what? The profit or the benefit of all. It's so that we all could be built up. That's the general theme that he's going on here. Verse 8, for to one is given, then to verse 10, the working of miracles. All right, so I wanted to give you guys a quick definition. You know how I am. Here's what we're talking about when we're talking about miracle. Number one, it's a supernatural power to intervene and counteract earthly, so I've got kind of encapsulated here, the ordinary course of nature. Some people say, oh, that's just the way things go. It's part of nature. So it's the ability to intervene and counteract that and evil forces. Number two, the literal meaning is a display of power, giving the ability to go beyond the natural. And number three, it's a temporary suspension of the accustomed order of things through the Spirit of God. So if you're talking about miracles, you could be in any of those little areas, possibly a couple of them all at once. So as I was praying and thinking and surveying the Word, observing life around me, there are a few miracles that I can think of. So I added this morning just for a little bit of color to help you guys see a few options that maybe you didn't see before, but in John chapter 6, if you're taking notes, John 6, we see a great miracle. It's called the feeding of the 5,000. Now, I don't know if you guys have kids, whether they're at home or they're gone, but any of you who's tried to feed a teenager will realize how much of a miracle that was. My kids eat all the time, okay? All the time. Yes, yeah. So, guys, it's a miracle. Want to know why? Not only did he feed them all, it said they had leftovers. He gathered them up. That doesn't happen. Candace and Jeremy and I were joking the other day that our kids, almost all that we feel they eat sometimes is bread. Guys, they gathered extra bread too. So, once again, miracle, you know. They fed them all and they had extra, all right? Mark 4, verse 39, we see a picture of Jesus in a storm with his disciples. He's in a boat, he's napping. So one might say that Jesus napping in the middle of the storm was a miracle. Man needed some sleep. But the real miracle was when they were scared and worried and bothered, and they said, "Lord, don't you care?" And he got up and he told the winds and the waves to be still. And they did. Miracle. Natural order of things. But it needed to stop, or it needed to be suspended until he chose that, all right, you can do your thing again. All right? Are you with me? So, just to kind of sum this up again, some miracles fall into a general category. So financial blessings, health, breath in our lungs. This morning we were out at the lake, so the rising and the setting of the sun, I shared with everybody. I still consider that a miracle, but it's a miracle in the general sense. Are you with me? Okay? Others fall into a supernatural category. So when I say healings, I'm talking about limbs being regrown. I don't know if any of you have been around that, but I have. So when things come back that weren't there before, kind of opens your eyes and say, okay, this is real. God's doing something, right? All right? Raising the dead. There's this guy named Smith Wigglesworth. Hilarious name, but he was the real deal. God used him, raised many people from the dead. When you see that, you can't argue with it. I believe in raising the dead. Prove it. I've seen it. Come to one of our visits with the Lord and watch the Lord do it, okay? It's not me, it's him. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's gonna raise him then, he's gonna raise him today, he's gonna raise him tomorrow. Are you with me? Okay? Next one, freedom from the demonic. How many of you know you can't do that yourself? You need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit still does that today. Our verse. So, still going on. And I could go on and go on and go on and go on. The one other thing I want to say about this before we jump into our points today is that often, as we've been studying, these gifts are heavily partnered with other gifts. So when you are talking about the gift of miracles, it's often partnered with healings, okay? Limbs regrown, all right? It's a miracle, but it's also a healing. You see that? Okay? It's often partnered with faith. Sometimes the Lord has you just rise up and you're like, I don't know why. I know that this is going to happen. I have no logic or reason that tells me that it should. All I know is this, I know it's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen. It's going to happen. All right. I don't know how else to say it, but it's like, yeah. And everybody's like, what is wrong with them? You know, but they have this impartation of the gift of faith that just believes when everything else is saying that it's not going to happen. They go beyond that. It's beyond that saving faith we talked about. And then there's prophecy. That miracle that you speak forth by a prophetic word over somebody's life, it may not happen right then and there. But guys, I've seen so many prophetic words go out, and you know, you have this natural ability. Like, man, it didn't happen right then and there. I don't know if I can trust. And then it happens, and you're like, wow, a miracle right before my eyes. Okay, so they all are going to partner together. And something I want to remind you, we've been talking about in our Sunday school class, please come. I think all of us are going to learn something regardless of how long you've been in the church. But the word tells us to desire these things, desire these gifts, desire these realities. You can have them. Want to know why? Because Chris doesn't give them. Jesus does. And he says that you can have all that you want. Just ask and believe. Okay? So today we're talking about miracles, and I'm gonna go off into a little bit of the general and a little bit of the supernatural territory, because something that I feel strong in my spirit today is that many of us can't believe in miracles because we won't believe in some of the miracles that have already taken place. So I want to show you some miracles that are active and working right now today as backed up by the Word. And I think, I hope, I pray, this is what I've been praying, is my desire at the end of our session today, we will all believe in miracles and we'll actually start seeing them and calling them out and having some praise reports and talking about the goodness of God. You think we could do that together? Yeah. All right. So, miracle number one. This one is the miracle of his bride, which is the church. Not just this church, but the capital church, okay? We are his bride. The Bible says we are the bride of Christ and that he's coming back for us. So, I don't know about you, but I'm very protective of my bride. People don't get to just say or do whatever they want to around my bride, okay? Y'all see a different side of Chris come out when I have to start protecting my bride. And any man in here better be the same way, all right? So God has given you a massive blessing. Sometimes I don't know how we function or how we functioned before without our brides. Christy was reminding me, oh, and it was so true, so I'll share it. But she's like, I don't remember how the conversation came up, but one of the boys was like, What happens if he went away for like a long trip or something? I don't think we'd find anything. And I was like, preach, you know, because I'm like looking for my belt. I wear it every day. I'm looking for socks. I mean, you know, those things just grow on trees, it seems like. But, you know, it's like we can't find anything without mama. Mama's important, all right? So if you don't tell her she's important, you don't tell her that you love her, you better start doing it. All right, so from a husband, from a father, from a dad, I'm going to tell all the mamas in the house, I bless you. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Thank you for keeping all those wild boys straight and in line, going the direction we need to go, okay? Thank you. And some of you might not be our real mamas, but you've been a mama. So good job. Thank you. So God is very protective of his church, very protective of his bride. And we should be very cautious in how we talk about her and how we act in regards to his bride. Are you with me? Yeah. All right, that was a freebie. Ephesians 3, verse 3 through 7. Paul said, he made known to me this mystery, as I've briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. That was a really complicated sentence, just saying that God revealed to Paul a mystery. And he's written about it already. So check this mystery out. Which in other ages or times past was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. So they didn't know about it because the Spirit didn't dwell in them. They were not literal temples of God. You are. So we have a revelation that was once a mystery that has now been revealed. Verse 6. That the Gentiles, amen, should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. That's the good news, Jesus coming for us, dying on the cross, being raised again, which we're celebrating today, and making intercession for us in heaven. Joint heirs, co-heirs with Christ, covered by his blood. God sees us, he sees him. Are you with me? Verse 7. Of which I became a minister. We're all ministers. Don't know if you know that or not. Of which we became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to us by the effective working of his power. We've been entrusted. We've been entrusted to say, not just this way now. Everybody. To all that will answer. To all that will hear and respond. You have a promise. You have a hope. So something I have to stress again, if this wasn't clear, I'm not really talking about the church as a building. I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the church as a people. He's commanded us to walk in unity and to continue to meet together and encourage one another. COVID didn't like that too much. So we all, you know, forsook the gathering in one way, shape, or form, whether mentally or emotionally or physically, regardless of the circumstances. But God has asked us to gather, and we had these obstacles that tried to get us to not. Right? Are you with me? Okay? Well, we're here today. Amen. Look around. Yes, God wants us to gather. And there's just something different. Guys, I work for Dell as well, and our Zoom calls are nothing like me going into the office and high-fiving people, giving them a hug, blessing them, being Jesus to them at my workplace. It's just not the same on video. I mean, it's nice. It's better than phone call and no video, but it's just not the same as meeting personally together. Do I believe that Jesus can transcend the internet? Yes, I do. But it is so much better to do it in person. All right. So usually, we agree with the gathering, but our disagreement is in the details. Here's the problem that I see, at least one of them that Jesus made known to me as I was thinking about this, is that unfortunately our gatherings, remember I'm not talking about the bride, I'm not talking about the church, I'm talking about the gathering. It's become so much like a business, or it's become so political. You are looking at me a certain way, but you know I'm right. That people that don't know him, or did know within 10 feet of us. You want to know one of the things I'm so thankful for? By and large, the amount of people that were in our front yard and walking up and down these sidewalks, they had no problem at all. And I was like, Lord, thank you. Can you help us be a part of your body that replicates that love, that replicates that kind of togetherness and unity and closeness? Not scared, not worried. And now, please hear me. I'm not talking about a medical thing. If you have a medical thing, okay, we're not talking about that. I'm talking about walking in fear and thinking that someone or something is always out to get you. Don't fear. God will keep you. And if you have a medical situation, I believe that God will keep you and he'll heal you and he'll allow you to be a part of that body. But those are the exceptions, right? We're not all called to walk in the same way. So we have to make exceptions and we have to lift up that weaker part of the body and be there for them when they can't be here with us. Can you hear that today? But that's an exception. That shouldn't be the plurality. That shouldn't be all of us, okay? I might get off that soapbox. Sometimes I believe the great miracle that the Holy Spirit works in us and through us is the ability to forgive as he did and to bring peace and unity in difficult situations. I don't know how that struck you, but man, when God told me that, I was like, oh, I haven't been looking at it that way, but you got my attention. I'm going to say it again. Holy Spirit working in us and through us, giving us the ability to forgive as he did. How did Jesus forgive through the Holy Spirit? Totally. Unconditionally, everybody, no one left out. He was often told, hey man, don't you know who you're sitting next to? And he's like, I do. You know, and he didn't move, he didn't flinch, right? They thought they were giving him this massive truth. I'm going to share a little saying, meme, whatever you want to call it, that I saw the other day that kind of got me, so maybe it'll get some of you, but they said when you see someone coming into church for that you haven't seen in a long time, and if the first thing you can think of is all the reasons why they shouldn't be, your butt better be up at the altar. Can you hear that? If your first reaction to someone walking in church is not, yes, but they shouldn't be here. They did, blah, 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 blah. You should be up here at the altars. It's not wrong. I like this quote by a Greek philosopher. It says, you were given two ears and one mouth so that you can listen twice as much as you talk. Some of us haven't figured that out yet. Lord, help us. Listen twice as much as we talk. Man. Sometimes we listen to respond rather than listening. Isn't that true? I want to hear enough, and usually you don't even allow them to finish saying it. You're like, whoa, you know. Lord help us. That'd be a miracle. So here's my miracle. For us to sit down be quiet, and stop talking. We're often told that we should be still and wait for the Lord. I'm pretty confident that when the Lord had the writer pen that, he wasn't thinking about us just telling God everything, like, okay, now we're sitting in the Lord's presence. Well, God, so I have some things I just wanted to talk to you about. And you're just chippering and chattering the entire time, telling him what he ought to do. I don't think that's what he meant by be still and wait on the Lord. He'll renew your strength. I don't think that's what he had in mind. Are you with me? He wants us to do this. This may sound harsh, but he wants us to do this. Why? So that I can hear the hearts of my brothers and sisters. So I can find ways that me, as a part of the body, that I can minister to them. If I don't know you and I only kind of know you at the surface level, I don't know the things that you're struggling with, I don't know the things that you care about, I don't know the things that, I don't know, just keep you up at night. How can I minister to you? It's fake. That's not unity. That's you keeping the peace. We weren't asked to keep the peace. We were asked to walk in unity, to esteem each other better than yourselves.
Yes.
All right? That usually means even when you don't like them. He wants us to love them and like them. The second one's a little harder, not going to lie. People probably have a hard time liking me. I still go to bed. I sleep real good. I get up the next day, and I try to love somebody better than I did the day before. Okay? Pray that if that thing, those sort of things bother you, Lord, help me get through that. I'm not seeking the approval of man. I'm seeking yours. You'll transform me. Your word says that you would. You'll transform me into the person I'm supposed to be, into the light bearer I'm supposed to be. Okay? And if I can't reach them today, I'm going to pray that I get to reach them tomorrow. Okay? You kind of become that nagging woman in the scriptures where he said this lady just continued to go and go and go and ask. And eventually the wicked judge just said, here, just leave me alone. Okay? Sometimes we're that way. Sometimes we need the nagging before we wake up to the truth of God's goodness and God's word. And we say, I get it now. Oh man, Lord, forgive me. How many walk into what they have? And thank you for their tenacity. Thank you for getting them to continue, even when I was a little bit of a turd. All right? He said it in church. Oh my goodness. So here are my two questions. Do you love us, church? But even more importantly, change those words around. Sometimes church doesn't sound as nice. Do you love his bride? Because he does a whole lot. And if you lead with that, it's really easy to operate in love, because then you start looking at it as his bride, and you start watching the things that you say, you start watching the things that you do and how you conduct yourself, and you're like, oh man, I'm in church, y'all. This is the way I ought to act, right? One little side note on that way you ought to act in church. I'm willing to bet that God's rules in his house are probably a little bit different than our rules in his house. He's probably a little bit more lenient, enjoys those kids running around the church, being a little bit loud, a little bit more than we probably do. And we're like, shh, you're in God's house. Why are we shushing? He doesn't have any hearing problems. I think he's happy that he's here and they're running and they can have fun and they could say, it feels like home. Do we want him to feel otherwise? I'm not asking him to destroy the place. I'm just asking him to have fun. Because if you can't have fun in the house of God, where else are you going to have fun in? Okay? Miracle number two. Y'all, this one was hard. You might remember that I grew up Baptist and this one was new for me because he was showing me things that I didn't believe before. So go with me on this one. I'm with you. If you don't agree with all of it, it's okay. You don't agree? Ask the Lord to show you a better way. Okay? So the miracle of preservation of the saints. the perseverance of the saints. Once saved, always saved. Whatever you want to call it. So I said, okay, Lord, you gave me a word. He's been doing this lately. That word was preserve. I woke up, middle of the night. I don't do that sort of thing, okay? So I said, yes, Lord, what do you want to say? Preserve. We tried to cut all those things out of our diet and eat well and do, and, you know, do all the things. What do you want to say about preserve? He said, go look it up. Man, all right. I'm up now, right? I go and, you know, what's preserve mean? Here are the ones that stuck out. To keep, or to keep safe from harm. So I said, what does it not mean? To abandon. All right, Lord, that sounds like you. Now, what do you want to say? Psalm 91, 1 through 3. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Jumping down to verse 9 and 10. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no what? No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Now you might say, but Chris, COVID-19. Is any of that junk bigger than him? Was he shocked by it? Did he fall off his throne and say, oh, you got me? No. Is he willing? Is he able? Will I let him? Here's the thought that I had. Persecuted, but protected. Even in the persecution, as he said we would have it, he makes a way to endure. He doesn't always make a way out, hear me, but he makes a way to endure. What does that mean? It's kind of like the children in the desert, and they had to go every day. They couldn't stock up. They couldn't, all right, here's my kingdom. I'm good for the next, you know, 30 years. Every day. God, I come to you. I know that you're faithful. I know that you're able, and I want to let you. Would you provide for me and my family today? Each and every day. Now, some of us may think, two sides of this, right? Man, I like structure and process and step one and two and three. Like, this sounds like a good thing. But then they became so mechanical in it, they had no life. Then there were those that they hated the process, and they're like, that's not spiritual enough. We ought to spiritualize this just a little bit more, right? And we do that today. Rather than going to God without any other motives or ideas or thoughts, we still try to tell him how to do things. Lord, help us. One other thought on this one that I wanted to share with you that I thought was cool. The greatest protection is usually reserved for the greatest battles. And so often we're saying, get me out of the battle. I don't want to go through it anymore. It hurts. But that we still say, God, give us protection. God, protect me. God, guide me. Sometimes we see all that in those great battles, those great hardships. So I'm here to encourage you. You're probably on the right track. It might not always feel good, but are we supposed to feel good all the time? No, we love him anyway. I'm also reminded of how Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And I don't know about you, but I can just feel the heartbreak in Peter, like, oh, yes, I do. And I knew he had to ask, because I denied him three times, right? Trying to look cool or kind of fit in or not be called out, not be persecuted, not be attacked. So I denied to serve the greater good because I just wanted to see what happened. but I denied him. It's real. We do it. We do it. So if Jesus can forgive Peter, guess what? He can forgive you. There's enough. I want to give you another story, and we'll jump to the next point, but I'm going to sum this one up for you. I didn't have it all written regardless, but give you the address nonetheless. So it's found in Acts 27, verses 21 through 26 is what I'm focusing on here, but I encourage you to check out the whole portion there. But to set up the story, Paul is journeying to Rome. He's going to give an account on behalf of the Lord. He's been ministering to the Gentiles. All of this is going on. And so he's effectively a prisoner because he said, I want to go to Rome. So here he is. He's on a boat. And so they're going through this journey, and a number of times the writer of the story, who was a companion to Paul during this journey, multiple times in this portion of Scripture said, and the journey was perilous. And the journey was perilous. Like, it was not a fun time. You didn't want to be on the boat. And then they said this last town they stopped in, they lingered there for a while so that it was even more dangerous to be out on the water. So, not a fun time. And as they're traveling out, Paul urges them, guys, we shouldn't do this. We should go to a harbor. We should rest. We should wait it out. But they didn't listen. So Paul tells them in verse 21, you should have listened to me and not sailed out, because we're going to experience great disaster and loss. But he assures them, he encourages them. He says, not a single one of you will be lost. Were they all Christians? Probably not. But not a single one of them were lost. Why? Because Paul was there. And Paul was praying for those ornery guys that, in one part of here, it said, so they didn't all escape. Some of the soldiers thought, we're just going to kill them all. They're all going to be done. And there was one centurion that had compassion on Paul and said, no, let's just do what he says, right? I can just imagine this story. Like, these are some of the cool ones, right? And he said, don't do that. He said, they were starting to make like a little raft and everything. Don't do that. If you stay on the boat, you'll be protected. If you try to get out, you will not. To like stay in the bubble, all right? And then a cool thing happened. Almost a piece in the middle of the storm. We just did it today, so it's kind of got me thinking about it. He broke bread with them. He ate with them. And he assured them again, everything was going to be okay. And I'm encapsulating the story for you because, guys, in verse 37, we see that there were 276 people on this boat. How many of them survived? All of them. All of them. And I just think that's so powerful because here they are. They're hungry. They're cranky. They're in the middle of a storm. Come on, somebody. Hungry, cranky, middle of storms. That sounds like some of us, right? And they resolved in the fact that God's promise was true. He was willing. He was able. They were going to let him. He gave some instructions. I'd say saving 276 ornery guys was a massive miracle. That's just me. But here's what it got me thinking about. All they had to do was follow his instructions. They were all saved, but the ship was completely, completely destroyed. So here's my question for you. Who are you listening to? It's wise to have counsel. It's wise to have a multitude of counsel. And I believe it should be from godly men and women whose fruit is evident. You see it in their lives, right? But here's the kicker. Here's what God said. And it's for somebody, might be for all of us, but I know it's for somebody. That counsel should never substitute God's leading in your own life by the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. If you've somehow got that mixed up, call it out. Say what it is. Repent and say, God, your voice is the one that will be louder than every other in my life today. Okay? So here's our truth in the perseverance. He saves us. And he keeps us. Fear has no more power because of that eternal abiding we have in Christ. that is found in John 14 and 15. Study the abiding. I want to give you our last couple ones really quickly here. But our last two points, you can write these down. The miracle of resurrection. And the miracle of forgiveness. Guys, don't worry about pulling these on the screen. I'm going to go through them quickly. I'll give you the addresses. Miracle of resurrection. We see it in two places at least. So Romans 8, 9 through 11. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. There's a lot here. Romans 8, 9 through 11. A lot here. But what we talked about last time, there are things in you that need to go through a process of death, burial, and resurrection so that you can do all that he wants you to do. And it's not going to feel good. That's not what I'm telling you today. So it's on recording. Chris did not say this is going to feel good. It's probably going to be terrible. It's probably going to be awful. Okay? But the promise we have is Jesus said, the Father has given me the power to lay down my life freely and take it up freely. It was a choice. He chose to do it for you and for me. And Paul is telling us right now in Romans that that same power lives in you. Now, you guys are sitting down, but I would hope somebody would do a little bit of a dance on that one. Here's another one that I encourage you to study. John 14, 19 through 24. Massive, massive promise. And I want to sum a lot of this up into this statement. I love this. Jesus didn't come just to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. All right? That's a whole lot better than being good, all right? Here's my last story, last point. It's on the miracle of forgiveness. I was processing all this. And I said, God, what do I need to focus on? What's the greatest? He showed me that it was forgiveness. So there's your teaser. And I thought this. He said, when mankind was tricked in the garden, what was the lie? A little bit of a brain teaser. I think I heard it a few times. Eat this fruit and you'll be like God. Why was that a lie? Because the word of God says we were made in his image. You're already like God. So he lied to you. Do this. But God said, no, do it anyway if you want to be like him. Right? So when we ate of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil, we set some things in motion. Remember, one of our definitions of miracle is to suspend or intervene or counteract. We set laws in motion because we gave away authority. We said, we want to be like God, like God, air quotes, even though we already were, even though he'd already given authority and told us to have dominion, okay? But we set things into motion. We created a different order of things that was damaged and flawed when God created things perfect, just so you know. And he had to suspend, well, I guess a couple things here. Instead of suspending, I believe he had to take a more direct approach. He could have suspended, but he said, okay, let's search the earth. There's a number of scriptures here. I can give you these later. But he searched the earth. Was there anyone worthy? Any guesses if he found any? No. No one worthy. He himself would have to come and pay that debt for sin. Another pop quiz question. What was the debt? What was owed? Life. Something had to die. And in the Old Testament, they had sacrifices that were appropriate for different things. But in this case, not just any sacrifice would do. That life needed to be blameless. That life didn't exist in anyone presently on the earth. So God says, direct approach. Intervene. Let's fix it. He sent his only son, Jesus Christ, so that he could have all of us back. Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. And I want to tell you a quick story in Luke 7, 36 through 47. Please show this one so that we could follow along together. So Jesus has chosen to forgive a woman that these guys didn't think ought to be forgiven. So in verse 36, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to that Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Guys, y'all talk to my wife, Christy. This type of oil is the type that you don't just carry around kind of thing. It's the real deal. It's the good stuff. In verse 38, she stood at his feet and she was behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with that fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw all this, he spoke within himself. This man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she's a sinner. You can feel just the indignation in his words. And Jesus answered and said, Simon, I've got something to say to you. Man. So Simon said, Teacher, say it. Now that wasn't a term of endearment. He was being formal, trying to be smart, trying to be cute. So Jesus tells him this, verse 41. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. All I want you to get is there one number's bigger than the other. I can go through what a denarii is and it'd make it sink in quite a bit more, but it's a lot of money. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. So he's talking to Simon. So tell me, which one of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said, you have rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see her? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, they are many, but they're all forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Now guys, wrapping this up a little bit. It's inviting someone to your house, middle of the summer, that blazing Oklahoma heat plus all the humidity, not taking good care of them. They've been there a few hours, no water, no drink, no food. You're kind of just doing it to be two-faced in a way, like, look who I had over at my house. But that's where it stops. You're doing it for a show. Everyone knows it. You're not offering any hospitality whatsoever. And then a lady comes in who you would never be found dead with, okay? She's bad, all right? Guy, girl, insert whatever in your story. And Jesus is continually shown love by her. And yet you may profess to be a Christian. Okay? This one stuck out to me because I was thinking about that story a second ago about Peter denying Jesus. One could say it was just with his words and not with his heart. I'm willing to bet it was with both. Because his heart would have kept his mouth shut. I love him so much. He's done everything for me. He called me out. He cleaned me up. I can't say anything about him other than the goodness. But how important is he to you? Is your own life and your desire to, I don't want to go. I want to take care of my family or take care of this or take care of that. What's more important? If you were faced with the decision, death or Jesus, analyze your heart. Where would you land? And depending on the answer to that, I'd be giving him praise and asking for, God, help me. Because if I say, I pick Jesus, Lord, help me not be conceited. Help me not get proud or boastful or think that I am untouchable because I'm one of the good ones. But if I'm on the side of, man, I'm fearful. I want to take care of my family. I don't want to leave them alone or whatever excuse you enter in there. Lord, give me faith. Help me to do what you want me to do when the time is right. I don't know if you know this, but we're in the last days. Well, every church pastor has been saying that for at least, guys, and I haven't been alive very long, but those that are in this room are confirming the story for me, at least the last 80 years. And then when we study the word, we've seen it for longer. Last days. Last days mean they ought to end soon, right? That's what the word says. So are we nearer than we were before? Are you ready? So who loves much? The one who's forgiven of much. It was a massive miracle that Jesus said, I'll pay it. I'll pay that debt. I'll take that sin. I'll do it. But you'll be cut off from heaven. You have to strip yourself down of all the power and all the majesty and all the splendor that you have. Yeah, I'll do it. But God can't look at you because sin is going to be all in you, and God cannot approve or look upon that. I'll do it. But they're not worthy. You're going to tell them all this, and they're going to kill you anyway, and they're going to call you every name under the sun as they do it. I said, I'll still do it. That's what he said for you. That's what he said for me. Now, I don't know about you. I've always looked at this and said, man, I had a relatively good life. I guess I'm one of the ones that were forgiven of little. And that was 20-ish years ago. And as I have thought about my life, that was a lie from the enemy. I've been forgiven much. You and I have been forgiven of much. Because what was poured out on Jesus, just a little bit here. Everything you would ever do. Not just up to that point. The mistakes that you'd make later too. Y'all, I've been forgiven of much. So here's what I want us to say today. And I hope this is true. Stand with me. I think you can see it now. So what we said at the beginning. I want you to say with me, I believe in miracles. Now say this, I am a miracle. I am a miracle. Can you give him some praise? Thank you, Lord, for miracles. Thank you for that wonder-working power that is still going forth from your death on the cross. Thank you for the truth and life that we have in you, in your name. All right, so here's what I would like to do. The worship team is going to lead us in a song. And I want you to see these altars as open. And here's the thought process that I want you to have. Not that I'm dirty, I ought to go get myself right with the Lord. I want to come before the Lord and praise and honor and bless his name for the goodness that he has done in my life. Now, let me say this. Some people can't kneel down. So that's okay. Sit at your seat, but give him praise. But let's sing a song together real quick, and let's just let that miracle resonate in our heart. And if you need prayer for anything, me and Alan and a few others are going to be up here. Please come. We'd love to pray for you. And if you have anything that's unspoken, write in those prayer cards and drop them in our basket back there, and we'll pray for those too. Okay? So you guys are officially dismissed, but please spend a moment lingering in his presence as we sing this song.